Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Can you believe it? It has been months, but it is finally here, and we are jacked to the gills about it. We will get into all of that coming up here just a couple of moments from now. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio.
Gills.
Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington, and Brady
gills
Quinn.
Gills.
You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app.
Gills Knox.
Wherever you are, making us a part of your Thursday morning. We are going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock
That's
Pacific,
right.
And
yeah.
We appreciate you doing yeah. so. Because, guys, it's back. The NFL is back. It is back.
It's game day, baby.
Damn straight it is. And we have got Cowboys Bucks kicking off the season later tonight. Just think about all those dreadful sporting events we had to sit through for the past few months. But we are finally here. While everybody fake talks how excited they are about U.S. men's soccer, we move all that garbage to the side and we focus on the NFL because it is back.
Really any other sport, right?
Damn right.
Yeah. I mean, we're always faking unless it's football.
Yeah, it's a football country.
We're a football country. Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's only excitement when it's football season.
Now, I'm tired of hearing about these other sports,
yeah,
right?
We're faking.
You don't matter. Other sports,
yeah.
you don't.
No.
It's
yes.
football.
Yeah.
It's America.
Football's
That's what
canceled.
We do, man.
Cancel culture.
Yeah.
We cancel everything else out.
You're not allowed behind the velvet ropes.
Yeah.
Stand in line with the rest of the common folk.
Yeah.
No, you're not allowed in this
Get
club.
Get out of the club.
Yeah.
yeah. How's that for dismissing a bunch of other people that make a ton of money? Now, here's the here's what I would point out. I don't know what it's like, and you guys are going to tell game day stories as a player. I'll just say this. As somebody who never played in the league, has loved football his entire life,
yeah.
the first game of the season,
yeah.
do you know how unproductive tomorrow morning is going to be for so many people that are watching that game tonight? I mean, they will either call out sick or get nothing done. This is Christmas, man, and this really is the first gift you get to open. Open, and then Sunday, when all the other gifts are under the tree, you just get to open all those
I've got
the same
a theory
time.
On this, Jonas.
I'm telling you, man.
Hey, you guys have traveled, right? I mean, LeVar,
yes.
you've traveled.
Sure.
You've been to Europe.
Yep.
You know how, like, they have a completely different lifestyle over there where, like, they'll just take, like, a couple months off. Like, they will take their holiday, as they call it, or vacation, and they will go somewhere for, like, a month at a time, sometimes 2 months at a time. I mean, I'll put it this way, but in some places, they're living. Like, they are enjoying life. Meanwhile, over here, we are grinding.
Yeah, we are
grinding. We grind, baby. It's America. That's what we do here. We grind.
Yeah.
But to Jonas's point, if you add up all those days following the first game of the NFL season, Mondays after Sundays in the NFL or after a long weekend of football, if you like college and NFL, if you start adding up some of those quote-unquote sick days, off days, it's going to add up to about a month or so. You know, we do it the same thing. We just happen to take them spread out, and it happens to be falling around American football.
Do you guys find yourself, now that you're out of the league and you can look at it from a different vantage point, do you guys find yourself appreciating more of the fan aspect of things, or when you get to today, you immediately go back into game day mode and you just start thinking like a player, like first game day experience, getting ready for the season, first ever debut. Like, how do you handle that psychologically?
You know, for me, it I'm a fan first, so I've always approached everything from a fan first perspective. So the fans have always mattered to me. How I approach the game has always mattered to me because I know the players who came before me. I knew the players that were playing at the same time as me. So it was always like a badge of honor. Like what you said, I never played in the pros before. It's like I made it to the pros, but I always approach things like the guy that didn't make it to the pros. You know, it's always like when I walked around, you see a kid. You know, quick story. When I was younger, my heroes were high school players, high school football, high school basketball. They were the most, like, they stood out to me. They were the most intriguing to me. And my favorite player, I remember one time my dad took me to a playoff game to see them in a basketball playoff game. We get to the we get to the arena, and I see them standing because they, you know, you have tournament style playoff games, you know, once you get to the playoffs, and they're sitting in the bleachers waiting for the game before them to get to the third quarter so they could go change for their game. I run off on my dad because I see my guy. It's like, he doesn't know me, and he doesn't know that he's my guy, but that's my guy. So I go running up to him, and he blows me off.
Wow.
Dude blew me off.
Who blew you off?
I won't say his name. Okay. But because we're actually friends. We're actually friends now.
Yeah, okay. What's his Twitter handle? I'll figure it out.
No, no. So he blows me off, and my dad's like, you know, whoa. You know, he finally catches up, and he sees the exchange taking place. And dude was like, basically, like, can you just leave me alone and let me, you know, watch the game and, like, get my mind right for the game type stuff. And my dad was like, man, you couldn't, you know, take a moment or sign an autograph for him. And I stopped my dad. I was like, you know, don't worry about that. I was like, one thing I'll never do, Dad, is be like him if I ever make it. And I pointed at him and when I said it. And go figure, like, all those years later, I think I was in, like, heck, I don't know. I had to been in either at the end of grade school, probably at, the, like, my fifth grade year. It's either my fifth grade year or my sixth grade year of school. But I remember telling my dad, look my dad in my eyes. I was like, Dad, I'll never be like that. So for me, when I watch football and I approach football, it's like I can't do it as a civilian because my mind is always breaking down the X's and O's of it. So it's very difficult to watch as a normal civilian, but I never have stopped watching it as a fan either. So it's like I enjoy watching guys. I enjoy knowing who they are. I enjoy, you know, the stories behind them, the side stories and all that stuff. So it's always been exciting for me in the same way, even if I was in a state of competing versus just trying to watch it as a civilian that's retired now.
Yeah. Listen, well, you know, yeah, not everybody's the pride of Dublin, Ohio.
Yeah,
know, that's,
right.
That's well, I was going to say, let me give you the alternative point of view. Are we going into like our first game experience?
Why not?
We can do it now.
Yeah.
So the
spin
reason,
the barrel.
Reason
Let's
being
go.
Is like I can relate in some fashion to kind of LeVar in two senses, like as a player, and then as just kind of like a fan and kind of a young kid whose like dream came true. Like I remember before week one, 2007, we're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I remember being in the locker room before the game and like this overwhelming emotions came over me. Like I can't describe it. I don't know why. It was just that moment when I kind of realized like, holy crap, man, you're playing in the NFL. Like you did it. And I started thinking about my parents. I started thinking about all the people, my Uncle Dave, my high school coach, Greg Fry, who worked with me when I was young. Like I started thinking about all the people in my life that helped me get to that point. And I was so overwhelmed with like thankfulness. And I think I told you guys, like from the youngest time, I grew up a Browns fan, man. Like some of the memories, the only memories I have of going to games with my grandpa was going to see the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And
super
so
cool.
It like all hit me in that moment where I put the helmet on. We started to walk out the tunnel. I'm like, dude, I'm trying to fight back tears because it's so seldom in my life that I took a moment to realize like what was happening around me.
Mm.
I was always the type of person that was more focused in on like what was going on, the situation in the game, my teammates, the scheme, whatever the case was. I mean, from the youngest age, my dad used to always ask me, are you having fun? And I used to be always so into it and want to win so bad and so competitive that like I never stopped to think about how cool it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember before the Pittsburgh Steelers game, like going out of the tunnel and in the locker room beforehand, like just those emotions and how it felt. Because there was so much hard work and sacrifice by everyone involved, including myself, to get to that point. But then the game started. and then
that's a different story.
And then I was like, oh, snap, we're not very good. Like,
oh, no.
Like, the Steelers are legit, man. Like, we've been watching film. I've been hearing stories. I've watched them for years. And I'm like, man, we got some work to do. With a bench Charlie Fry at half. Derek Anderson goes in the second half. I think he threw a pick or two. And then now the reality hit me as I'm walking out of the stadium after the game. Like, man, we're not very good. We got to turn this thing around. And then they traded Charlie Fry that next week. Now people are like, hey, you might be starting. I was like, hell yeah, give me the reins. Let's do this thing. Point, they gave it to Derek Anderson. And Cincinnati's defense was one of which then, at least that year, you could throw on them a little bit. So that was the funny thing was we always kind of felt like whoever got the start week two was going to be the starter the rest of the way. I almost kind of apply it to like Florida State after the McKenzie Milton, Jordan Travis situation this past Sunday. Because whoever gets to start this week versus was Jacksonville State, I think they play, they're going to be the starter for a while because right. they should be they able to show out a little bit. Right. But it was kind of like that.
So you were more emotional about walking out to the field for game one than you were when you got drafted.
Yeah, and then part of that might have to do with like how my draft day went. Not even like sliding to what I thought to 22. It was more of like literally, dude, like we were sitting in Roger Goodell's green room with my family, having just crushed a bunch of Chipotle burritos, trying to clean up after ourselves. And they're like jerking me onto the stage after I'd spent some time talking to the Ravens. And then it was the Browns that traded up with like 2 minutes left. So it was like kind of chaotic, to be honest, where like people were trying to like get me up out of there and our Chipotle probably. They're like, get your family out of here.
That's why you were chewing gum on the stage, right?
Yeah. I was like, man, I can't be walking on stage with stank breath.
Oh, wow.
But it's Chipotle hot sauce.
I remember you got heat for that, too. So I forget who
it was
in
Joe
the analyst.
Theismann.
Yeah, Joe Theismann.
Excuse me, Joe Theismann. Yeah, Lamar knows. Yeah. He'll pop off about anything.
He was upset. He didn't think it looked professional when Brady was chewing gum. He just had Chipotle, man. It's like eating a sewer rat wrapped in a blanket. Like, what do you want from him? I'm just saying. Like, he's going to put some gum in.
He's got all those prostate commercials he does.
He does.
He's good. Yeah. He's running the bathroom a lot. Who cares? I did because for whatever reason, I think how that experience went. And at that point, like, you're getting drafted. Like, it's, I don't know, you go through it the first time. I don't know how LeVar felt about when he got drafted. But I was like, it didn't hit me then. Like, that's not football. Football is when you like strap on the pads, you strap everything on, you get ready to go. Mm-hmm. And it was at that moment for whatever reason, and maybe because you know I prayed before games and all that, where it was like kind of a just you know one of those conversations
awesome.
Where you're like this actually happened, man. Like you dreamt about this all your life, and this is actually happening.
That's awesome. That's cool.
I had one of those. I cried before every game. I put a towel over my head, like it was kind of the coolest part. At a point in time in my career, it wouldn't be my first time going out, but just at one point in time in my career where I was the leader, the captain of the team, had you know a resume to with the respect, the defensive front and the linebackers, we had a routine. Everybody had the routine, and as the routine wound up and we got ready to go out, I would put a towel over my head. Like, and they knew when I put my towel over my head, I knew that it was 5 minutes before it was time for us to go out. For a small amount of time, I think about Pee Wee League football and the uniform that I wore and how I used to freak out because I couldn't find my socks that were team issued socks that had the name of our team on it. And I thought about like my runs, like different highlights from when I played Pee Wee League would flash through my head. My loved ones, like people that I went to school with, that some were in jail, some had passed away, you know, my family. Like I ran everything through my head in that moment for about a minute or so. It seemed like an eternity. And I just cry. Like the emotions, the raw emotions of like this all happened because of all of this. I think about my Pee Wee League coaches, my high school coaches, like my teammates from every, like I would think about my uncles. I would hear random moments where I'd have an uncle at a game and he'd be standing on the fence. He'd be like, go Shorty. And that was my nickname growing up, was Shot. My middle name is Rashad. And my family called me Shoddy. So I just have random moments where he's like, go Shorty. And I hear stuff that would take me back to a place and a time, and I would just cry. Then once I wipe my face off, I come up out of that towel, and I grab my helmet, and everybody be standing right there, ready for me to give them the words before we walk out and go onto the field for warm-ups.
That's
and that,
awesome.
That's one of my most vivid memories is how cool that was, that they would be waiting, Like, that was like our routine. Like, I get my moment in. Once I grabbed Excalibur, which was my helmet, you know,
called it Excalibur.
I was dropping that hammer.
Why not Luxor?
Oh, I love it.
Well, it's
man,
like
I
when you go into the mind of a maniac, like, you know, we talk about that's how you can't watch the game as a real civilian.
Excalibur, no kidding.
I grabbed Excalibur, bro, and it was the only one dude could grab Excalibur from the Lady of the Lake. You know what I mean?
So, in the end,
I put Excalibur on, and it was time to go, man. They knew it was time to go. We knew it was time to go. We go, you know, but that's football, though. You want to talk about the energy and the excitement of when you're really in it? Like, when you're in it, like, as a civilian, it's funny because I get those moments and I get those feelings when I'm watching my kids play. But that feeling that you get where your body knows that it's about to do some crazy-ish. And the way you start feeling, because it's funny, people used to always say, you look normal during the week. They're like, you look way different on game day. And it's honest to God's truth. I would look like a normal dude during the week. But when we were about to walk out and go onto the field, warm up and do what we were doing, I had veins popping out. Like, my muscles looked bigger.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, your body, like, my body knew, like, this dude is about to send us through hell. Like, let's go.
That's like a racehorse, baby.
Right?
You know? That's what they say about racehorses. They say those the best ones know. The lights come on. They feel the crowd. And those things just know when it's time, man.
Yeah,
they go.
Man.
Just make sure it's not a racehorse at Santa Anita. We won't make it home.
Well, that's
oh,
you know. I'm just saying. Just letting
like
you know.
Laid down. Right I'm just,
cold-blooded.
Just, I'm just letting you know. That's a dicey proposition there.
Cold-blooded.
Why are they bringing a 10 out onto the track? All right.
Shots out to the horses.
It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
So there's a story in the NFL. I don't know if it's a big deal. I mean, I've never been named this. I've never been given this award. So I'm not sure if it's a big deal, but it could be. And it's involving a quarterback with a lot to prove this upcoming season. We'll get into that here coming up just a couple of moments from now. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. And wherever you are making us a part of your Thursday morning, we appreciate you doing so. We're taking you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on FSR. And it is our NFL season preview show. So we will be coming up with our wild card picks. We gave out our division winners last hour. If you missed it, you can check out the podcast after the show. But we will make our wild card picks coming up later on here shortly here on FSR. Now, I don't know if this is a big deal. I've never actually been named a team captain in any capacity whatsoever. Never once. Because in high school football, you got to actually play, from my understanding, in order to
you could still be a team captain. Yeah. It's a long shot.
Yeah, but when you're awful, you know?
Hey, Brady, it's a real long shot.
It is.
It's a long shot.
That is the longest of
that
long shots.
Yeah, is the longest it's
a,
long
yeah
shot.
And that's a first for everything in my life. But I'll just say this.
You could always been injured with a high ceiling.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, that's a good point. Yes, that is a good point. I didn't think about it.
You showed a lot of off-the-field leadership.
Yes. A lot of incentive.
A Udonis Haslam type. You know,
right,
you
there
don't
you
really
go.
Play,
yeah,
except,
yeah, there you
yeah,
go.
Except
yeah.
He's got some credentials and I don't. But that being said, so
we're going to bust your ass today.
So do
like, whoa, yeah, whoa, like, whoa, bro. On, you're not playing.
Speaking on your behalf.
Yeah, hold on, Captain.
That so Tua Tagovailoa has got a lot to prove going into year two as an NFL quarterback. And I don't know if I'm just reading too much into this, but he wasn't named a team captain. All right. Now, Trevor Lawrence was named a team captain. He's never played a snap in the NFL. He was named team captain.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
look, before you even go into where you're
I just
asked every
you the
team
question.
Does it differently.
Okay.
I don't know how Brian Flores and his staff concocted this. And I don't know what LeVar thinks, but a lot of times, like, even if the players voted, the coaches are going to do what they want to do. So I'll put it that way. Like, I don't know that everyone voted Trevor Lawrence as the captain or how that all went, but he's the starting quarterback. Like, they're going to make him that guy, even if he hasn't earned it yet or he's not the guy yet. None of that matters. What's significant about it, if he's not, is the fact that it's just one less thing where it's less awkward if they were to bench him or move on from him, right? Like, let's say, for example, before the trade deadline, they make a move for Deshaun Watson. Like, it looks less awkward, right? If you've got that guy who's captain and you got to talk about it and all this stuff. But if that situation was to play itself out, it's just a little bit less awkward, right, to then throw the C on that guy's chest. So I'm sure there's some Dolphin fans who want to see him earn it. The coaching staff may say they want to see him earn it. Maybe some teammates, if that's how they voted. But I look at this and I say it's not overly surprising considering how Brian Flores has handled things so far with Tua. And, you know, even though he's come out and said he's our guy, it still seems like until the trade deadline and even after the season, like I still think there's the potential chance of them doing something if they don't feel confident enough in what he brings.
Well, you ultimately have to look at this team and the scenarios that could play out for Tua being connected ultimately to them wanting to take a definitive step in the direction of this is a division that's up for grabs right now. I mean, we can say that it's the Bills' time and they're going to dominate and we're probably right, but it's still considered to be a division that's up for grabs. So when you think about how close the Miami Dolphins could be right now to what it is they're able to get accomplished, if they're not confident in the most important piece to that puzzle being able to deliver, then you would have to believe that they're being very, very aggressive behind the scenes trying to figure out how they can rectify that problem as quickly as they possibly can. I just know this. When you hear a lot of speculation about something, whether it's 100% true, there's some truth to it. This is what I've learned in media. If you continue to hear something that is along the lines of this is the storyline that continues to march forward, Mac Jones could be the starter. Did you guys see how much that picked up? Mac Jones could be the starter. When will Mac Jones start? Can Cam Newton maintain the position? A lot of people are frustrated about the whole Cam and COVID thing. Da, 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 da. Wherever the truth was in all of that, it ended up playing out that Mac Jones ended up being the undisputed starter for this team. So the idea that you continue to hear things about Tua and how, okay, there has been the support that has been given to him from Flores. He comes out, we like character guys. He gave him a glowing endorsement of the type of guys they want in Miami. But didn't Bill Belichick, which isn't that where the coaching tree that Flores comes from, didn't Belichick kind of do the same thing with Cam? He was a champion of Cam.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, Cam isn't on the team. So I think you could take what coaches say at face value. I think he does believe what he's saying about Tua. And I think he does represent him well in that regard. But if there's somebody that's going to make the Dolphins a better team and gives Flores an opportunity to take over that division that's up for grabs, which he has a team that's good enough to be able to take the bull by the horn, so to speak, then you got to believe that if a Deshaun Watson is available, that they're and if they're working on that right now, if they're trying to figure out, if that trade takes place, you have to assume that Miami felt comfortable and confident that Deshaun Watson would come in and be ready to play pretty much the moment he sets foot in South Beach.
Here's what I don't get, though, is you drafted Tua. Like, you didn't have to. You could have even traded back, and you could have gotten more picks for a team that I think was viewed in a rebuilding year or at least in that mode. Like, you didn't have to take him, and they still ended up taking him with the injury concerns and everything else. Like, that's what I don't understand about them not buying into Tua and how they handled things last year with him. Like, you supposedly had done all this evaluation on the player. You'd seen him play. It's not like he hadn't been at the college level for a number of years and you couldn't dig up information on him. And yet you still decided to pull the trigger on him. And then yet, what, you have buyer's remorse already?
Like,
after
it was
a
quick.
Year we're...
It was
I mean, after a year, we're like statistically looking at it and even watching some of the tape, like I understand some of the concerns, but he's a rookie. Like, you can't compare his learning curve to Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert was a four-year starter at Oregon. He played his entire career, true freshman, all that, was from Eugene. I mean, it's an entirely different set of circumstances. And mind you, you know, Herbert played his best football his last year, but he never made it to the stage that Tua did.
No.
Playing a national championship and the SEC and all those matchups we saw. So I think it's just odd to me that they would so quickly want to move on from a guy that the same coach, the same general manager that's there, you made the decision. Like,
right.
You already are going to be second guessing this dude.
My bad.
Like, give him a chance.
We got him. My bad.
Yeah. Like,
let me try this again.
What did we say, Tua?
Let me try this one again.
I mean, am I crazy right now, guys?
And if they walk away from him after, first of all, he came off the injury last year. It was a devastating injury. Comes off the injury. It's a COVID year, so it's not like everybody had the exact proper times to get prepared for a season. And, you know, he didn't play that bad. He wasn't Justin Herbert, but he wasn't that bad. If they walk away from all of that after a year for some guy who's got 22-plus complaints for going to the grab lab, and they want to bring him as their franchise quarterback, and they walk, To me, that's a gutsy call, and I mean, if I'm Tua at this point, man, get the hell out of there, man. Like, I mean, if they're not going to show faith in you in a regular season game,
he's just got to play, though, Jonas.
I understand,
like,
but
like, you can't, like, get the hell out of there is like kind of like, how do you force your way out? Like, I think the way you get the hell out of there is by playing well,
or if by them, you know, bringing in Deshaun Watson, like, well, then he's gone.
Well, that's not getting the hell out of there. You're getting kicked the hell out of there.
I mean, but at this point, like, I mean, everything is telling him.
It's like the difference between leaving the club and getting kicked out of the club.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what? It depends on what
security
story.
Security handles that two completely different ways.
Sir, we'd like to help you to your car. Yes. Did you have a great evening?
Check, please. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Escort you out.
When you're getting kicked out, it's like
you're getting in a chokehold.
Yeah, okay. There is no conversation other than shut up.
Dragging your ass out.
Shut up.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah, it's just very different.
Yeah, it is very different here.
Highs and lows.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Definitely, LeVar. I'm glad you see the same TV I do.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't either.
What's the weather like out there? What's the weather like?
It's raining Z's. That's what it is.
My
Dios
gosh.
Mio.
Oh no.
All right.
Do
we want to get into our wild card picks? You guys ready to start throwing out some wild card picks? Three of them again. We've got three wild card picks in the AFC and NFC. Brady Quinn, you're our leadoff hitter here on Outkick the Coverage. Go right ahead, sir.
Let me start off by saying this. I was shocked. Like, again, I went through this whole thing. I went through week by week, game by game, shocked at how this turned out. In fact, I'm telling you right now, I don't like it, all right? I did this. I went through every week of the season, every matchup, and this is how it came out. I got the Steelers and Browns at 10-7, neither of which are making the playoffs.
Wow.
I know. I don't feel good about it. And so one of the playoff teams is coming out of the AFC East. That's the New England Patriots at 11-6. I don't like it. I don't think they're going to be a wild card team. I don't. I think it's going to be Pittsburgh, Cleveland, or maybe both of those teams. But again, I just for the sake of this show, I want to stay true to you guys. So I've got the Patriots, the Chargers, who had a great season, by the way, 13-4, and then the Broncos at 11-6, which I think they could be, because I'm betting on my man Teddy B, because they got a stacked roster. But those are my three teams, the Patriots, Chargers, and Broncos. I'm a bit surprised, to be honest with you, though, and I don't feel great about it.
Oh, interesting. I'm going to go with the three Bs as my wild card teams. I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns. I think their roster, they're too stacked. I like Baker Mayfield. I don't think he's a top 5 or 10 quarterback, but clearly he can play. But I like the Cleveland Browns. I have them getting in over the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's still question marks for me when it comes to Pittsburgh. I've also got the Buffalo Bills being a wild card team. now you're probably asking yourself, wait, Bill's a wild card team? Well, if you want to know who won the division, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com because it will be there up after the show is over. And then I, too, have the Denver Broncos getting that final wild card spot. I like the Chargers. I like the Chargers a lot. But here we go again. Austin Eckler, some sort of little issue pops up at practice yesterday, and I just wonder if we're going to see a little bit of a sophomore slump, and maybe Justin Herbert isn't the Justin Herbert everybody thinks he's going to be this year because of the crowds and because of being in packed stadiums. I wonder if that's going to be an issue. So I like the Browns, Bills, and Broncos.
What are you saying? He's used to the Pac-12 football where no one's there?
Oh,
that,
come
that was
on.
Is that what you're saying?
Listen, just
is that what you're saying?
Because they play in that, the Pac-12 championship game. How many people were there? Like, you and Joe Davis called the game. Was there like 45 people there?
That was like an annual thing for us. And there was, yeah, we were like trying to give away tickets before the game. I'd be walking around trying to give it away to people. Here, please come to the game. Please.
It was
great. You could sit right there, right there next to the field. Yeah, please come to the game.
Bring your empty seat costume, too. You can blend right in with everybody else. So there it is, my wild card picks. LeVar Arrington.
Wild card.
Sticks with picks.
Yeah, man. I'm going to go with the Titans. I'm going to go with the Dolphins, and I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Interesting.
Three wild card teams.
All right. All right. So you think the Dolphins, that team with a quarterback not named team captain, is going to be a wild card
team? I think they're a good team, and I think that they are – again, I think that they're a team that will be competitive for the division. I think they'll keep up.
So I had them at 9-8. But you know what the difference was? Why they weren't a wild card team for me? I had them 2-4 in the division. So that's where you and I differ.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots will be better this year. And obviously the Bills are going to be good. But I think that's the difference for them is if they do better in the division like you think, they're probably a wild card team with the way I ended up picking.
Hey, by the way, why is it fair that Brady gets to use some playoff predictor thing?
To you guys.
Yeah,
I sent you guys the link.
We're not cheating bastards.
He did send it. But
yeah, nice. Yeah.
It's not cheating.
I just feel like my mind kind of
computes
pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. I'm one with LeVar.
It's different.
In fact, they should have a link that says LeVar's brain for the playoff predictor.
Yeah, they should.
You know, you'll see hamster wheels, gerbils and hamsters and guinea pigs on. This is LeVar's thought process on how it works.
Hide and go seek for some people when it comes to those props.
You see the little ball going down, the little things all the way, making it all the way to the bottom, little silver ball.
Based on some of the other stuff we send each other, it's not far off.
You guys remember that game called what was it where you pull the thing back and you shoot the ball into the pinball machine? That's how my mind works, man.
I get
thoughts coming towards me. I hit the sides. I got my little flipper. Boom, I got a couple extra flippers.
I used to be able to play
higher up on right? I'm going for the high school of
a
high score. You know?
I was terrible at pinball.
Were you really?
Awful.
You
I don't know why.
Were you guys violent pinball players or were you just straight strategic?
I was more of a golden tee guy. Like golden tee.
Oh, golden tee.
What I'm saying is like violent pinball machine players are the ones that shake the pinball machine. That was you.
Yeah, but I mean, look at
like some people are very courtesy driven.
Yeah,
like they'll just hit the thing, da da da. But some people are like, oh, and they shake it and they shake it and they shake it, you know. And it's.
I mean, I don't know if you're really into working out or anything, but in between games, I used to lift the pinball machine up to get some shoulder shrugs.
Get some shrugs. Yeah. Hey, did you ever keep hitting your flippers, knowing that the ball had already gone down and probably was over, but in some weird, strange way, you thought that there might be an extra ball, so you kept hitting the flippers?
Yeah,
because you knew the flippers would stop once your turn was over, like once your game was over.
Yeah, that's what that Charger security guard was doing on the sidelines. A couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, just a little two-ball corner pocket.
I love our balls.
All right, it is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Why do you make me do that?
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, it is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up later on this hour, the debut of the Prop Bet Monster. All right, you don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Just lock in. We are going to have some fun with that. But right now, Albert Breer, MMQB, senior NFL reporter, joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. Albert, happy NFL season to you and yours. It's finally here.
AB.
Yeah, and I don't know what the hell was going on there.
Yeah, I don't either.
Was that like stuff they sell at Staples or something like that?
Yes, it was an office materials.
There you go.
Update.
It was an awful bottom of the hour update, is what it was. Let's just call it that. Albert, I got to ask you. So Patrick Surtain, real deal in Denver?
Yeah, I mean, I think all indications are that he's come as advertised, and I think the physical ability, everybody knows, you know, what he's bringing to the table there. It's just how quick he's picked up the defense. And I guess you'd expect that from a guy who, you know, is the son of a former All-Pro corner and played for Nick Saban at Alabama. But that's a complex defense, tough defense to play in. The Vic Fangio runs there in Denver. And the fact that they're able to move him around as much as they have been already as a rookie, I think it's been eye-opening for some people there. And so, you know, the Broncos are setting up as an interesting team. The quarterback's obviously still a question, but they have a lot going for them in a lot of different places. And, you know, not to spin this thing too far ahead, but if you look at them, it's not that far off from where they were. You know, I mean, Brady, you'll remember this because you were on the team in 11 they had a lot of, like, good young players coming together. And it really set up for Peyton Manning to step in 2012, where Denver could wind up being a really attractive destination for an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson or a Deshaun Watson in 2022.
Well, that's what I was going to lead to next, because we know this about the Deshaun Watson situation in Houston. He's not playing week one. Tyrod Taylor's the starter. He's probably not going to be active. Nick Caserio, their general manager, said they're going to take it week by week. What's your guess as far as how this plays out? Does he stay on the roster for the rest of the season? Do they trade him before the deadline? How do you foresee this thing working out?
Yeah, Brady, I think if somebody was going to pay the market price, they would have paid it by now. And I think if the Texans were going to take any sort of discount, they would have taken the discount by now. So I think really, you know, this is sort of in a holding pattern until there's some clarity from, you know, the league and some clarity from the legal system. And, I mean, look, like, I'm not going to litigate innocence or guilt. I don't know. You know, that's going to have to play itself out. And, I mean, I think one thing that's sort of interesting here is, you know, my understanding is, like, there was a, I'd say, like, a reasonable, settlement. Like, there's a reasonable idea of a settlement out there. And my understanding of the way that all went down was Deshaun really wanted to wanted to prove his innocence. And if that's the truth and he really doesn't want to settle, this is going to take a long time, you know. And if this thing's hung up in the courts through the season, I don't know that any team's going to step up with a sort of offer that the Texans are going to would accept. And I just haven't gotten any sort of indication whatsoever that Nick Caserio is going to take anything less than what he would have gotten in January or February before the lawsuits were filed to move Deshaun Watson.
What are you working on? What's the most relevant story you're working on right now as it applies to the league storylines? Because there are so many that are developing. What do you think is the most relevant?
I mean, I just think LeVar, the kind of like unsettled situation of quarterbacking across the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's really what it is. And you know, I can't remember a season when we went in where, you know, you had superstar quarterbacks and there were such huge questions on where they're going to be the following year, you know? And it's not like we knew, like, you know, I mean, maybe we had an idea, like, that Brady could move on from the Patriots, but I don't know that people really thought that was as real as it was going into the 19 season. And, like, Peyton Manning, I don't think anybody thought he was not going to be a Colt in 2012 and 2011. And so, like, I think the fact that you got Deshaun's name out there, the fact that you got Aaron's name out there, the fact that Russell Wilson's situation could go back to where it was again last January, this January, I just think that makes this so interesting, because so many of these, I think quarterback situations could look different a year from now, and so many of them look different now than they did last year, where you got Carson Wentz in Indianapolis, Sam Darnold in Carolina, obviously Matthew Stafford in Los Angeles. So I just think, LeVar, the biggest story in the league right now is how unsettled the quarterback situation is. And if you want to take it to kind of a broad strokes level, like why all this is happening, I honestly believe that like a big part of it is sort of the Mahomesization of the NFL, where a lot of teams are looking at the quarterbacks that have made it to the final stages. And, you know, you look at Josh Allen in Buffalo, Tom Brady in Tampa, you know, Patrick in Kansas City the last couple of years, and obviously Aaron in Green Bay. I think a lot of teams are looking at that and saying, like, can we really climb the mountain with the quarterback we have? And so I think that's why you've seen teams like the Niners start to move off of Jimmy Garoppolo, like L.A. move off of Jared Goff. I think it's just the bar's raising at the position, and I think that's created sort of an unsettled environment across the NFL.
Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter for the MMQB, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn with you here on FSR. What do you think happens with T.J. Watt's situation with the Steelers?
I mean, look, like, so, like, I always think, like, it's always darkest before the dawn with these contract situations. So, you know, I think there's going to have to be some level of compromise. The Steelers have really strict rules about what they do with contracts. They were willing to bend those rules for Ben Roethlisberger years ago. They said at the time, we're doing this because it's a quarterback. We won't do it for anyone else. I think they're going to have to bend a little bit to get T.J. Watt done. At the same time, I think T.J. Watt's going to have to come off his spot a little bit. You know, it's one of these where, you know, I think, like, the deadline of Saturday could wind up getting the sides to find some level of middle ground. And the Steelers have been here before. You know, they got David DeCastro done right on the day before the season. They got Stephon Tuitt done right on the day before the season. They got Troy Polamalu in 2011 done right on the day before the season. So I think there's a chance Friday or Saturday you're hearing about T.J. Watt getting a deal done. But I would say that it's going to take a fair amount of compromise from both sides to get there, because I don't think they're that close right now.
Albert, are you concerned at all that Tua Tagovailoa is not a captain down there in Miami? I mean, it's going to be an interesting matchup just to contrast where Mac Jones is year one in New England and those two teams squaring off. But does that concern you? Does that lead you to think that, hey, maybe something may happen down the road this season?
I'd be at least a little concerned, Bray. I mean, like, let's call it what it is. You know, like, I think in a lot of cases, like, coaches will make their quarterbacks captain if there's any way to do it, right? Like, so, like, say you want five captains and the quarterback's the sixth leading vote getter. I think in a lot of cases a coach will say, all right, well, we're going with six captains then, you know, because you want your quarterback to feel the weight of that, you know, leadership. And I look in New York and Zach Wilson's a captain as a rookie, and I look in Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence is a captain as a rookie. So, I mean, we can explain it away, like, however you want to explain it away. I think it's at least a little, like, it got my attention. I know that. What do you think, Brady? Because you were a quarterback. Like, my attention that he's not one, because I would think, like, if Flores really wanted to throw his support behind the guy, like, then, you, like, you find a way to do it, even if the vote doesn't go that way.
I think that would be one way. My quick answer to it would be, you know, he could say whatever he wants to behind the scenes privately to the team, but that would be one way. But I also know that maybe he wants him to earn that. You know, maybe he feels like it hasn't been earned yet. There's that New England culture there. That's the only wild card that I don't know. But to your point, and we mentioned this earlier, and LeVar knows this, like, if the coaching staff wants you to be a captain, you're going to be a captain, especially at the NFL level.
Right.
It ain't college where they're actually going to have all these players vote. Like, none of that matters.
Right, right. And I don't know. Like, I would think, you know, like, and I think, like, one thing I know about Belichick, and I think Flo is the same way. Like, those guys always sort of have an idea of what their team needs. And, you know, I know this with Bill. Like, a lot of people have this idea of Bill and, like, the guys who work with him as, like, just being tough on people all the time, right? And I think one of the things that Bill does well is, and again, I think Flo is the exact same way in Miami, is, like, they know when a guy needs to be knocked down, and they know when a guy needs to be picked up a little bit. And they know when they need to, you know, put a guy in his place, and they know when they need to elevate a guy. And I just, like, look at where Tua is, and after having such a weird first year, and then, you know, going into year two, and on the doorstep of his second year, he's finally the starter, and they finally, and I think they got rid of Fitzpatrick in part because they didn't want that hanging over Tua. Like, he's finally there, and now, like, he's got to answer for this. So it just kind of struck me as a little strange, and it made me wonder if something's going on there. Now, I haven't heard that there is, but, you know, I would think that, like, just having a feel for the situation, I would think if you're Flores, you would want to try to build the guy up a little bit based on everything he's been through and show confidence in him to the rest of the locker room.
Oh, we're talking about quarterbacks, and obviously Mac Jones being the starter in New England. What's the probability of them being able to win their division with a rookie quarterback?
I think Buffalo is going to be really good. So, like, I might be the wrong person to ask on that, LeVar, just because I have Buffalo in the Super Bowl. So, like, the Patriots failing to win the division to me wouldn't be a failure. I mean, I think that much of where Josh Allen is going into year four, I know, like, what the league thinks of him. You know, I'm doing a poll and right now I've got 60 ballots back. It's like head coaches, general managers, offensive coordinators, quarterbacks, coaches, directors of player personnel. Josh Allen is a very solid third right now among all quarterbacks in that poll, behind only Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, ahead of Tom Brady. So I think Buffalo's in for a very big year. But I think the Patriots, like, to me, the formula is right there for them. And, you know, I think we're all focused on Mac and what Mac can do. I think so much of this is going to be how the rest of the team can lift him up and what the formula is. And the formula to me is the same as it was in 2001 when Brady was the starter for the first time. It's keep him out of long distance or keep him out of long yardage situations consistently. Don't have him playing from behind. And they have the tools to do that because, like, I look at it, once they get Steph Gilmore back in October, I think they got a chance to be an elite defense. I think they've got a top-five offensive line, and they've got a really good tailback in Damian Harris. And so all the tools are there to take the pressure off him and play the game a certain way where he isn't in third and 15, and he isn't playing from two or three touchdowns down. I think that's going to be the formula for them this year. And I think if they drop Mac Jones into that sort of scenario, it'll sort of mirror what he had at Alabama, get him feeling more comfortable. I think that'll be a good way to get him rolling.
He is Albert Breer, MMQB, senior NFL reporter, always kind enough to join us here on Fox Sports Radio. Get him on Twitter, at Albert Breer. Albert, always appreciate it, man. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Big Al.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, AB.
All right, thanks, guys. And I got to apologize for last week. I was a little hazy, so
that's
hopefully
right.
This went a little better for you guys.
Yeah.
I like last week better.
Yeah,
I like last week better, buddy.
It was a little frisky.
Yeah.
If you guys want last week back, I can accommodate that.
Yeah.
a little brewer on the rocks. That's what we're thinking here. All right, good stuff. We'll talk to you soon. He's one of the best, Albert Breer. Here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Here we go. I've got to tell you something.
That's pretty. Okay.
Yeah.
This is like soothing.
You just see Jonas playing the drums. It's hilarious.
Is he playing the snare drum? Is that what he's
doing?
And it goes on.
What are you doing, dude?
Whoa. Jonas is playing the air drums. Whoa. He's got a highlighter in front of me.
Jonas, did you play other instruments or did you just sing?
Yeah, I could play drums a little bit, a little piano.
Play the
bongos,
yeah.
Too.
I got
play the flute.
Yeah, Roberto, there it is. Squeeze that one in as if the last half hour hasn't been weird enough on this show. Let's make some more, some more crank jokes on Morning Grime. That'll play well. It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. We are going to have our Super Bowl picks coming up later on in the segment here. But right now, it is time for something we do on the show, guys, and it's called this.
You moron.
How could you not get to these stories?
You moron.
These are the scraps.
And for that, we turn it over to Danny G, our executive producer, to find out what the hell we've missed so far on the show. D?
All right, Tiger Woods, y'all. He is not going to be one of Steve Stricker's assistants at the Ryder Cup, but the U.S. captain hinted around that Woods could be back on a golf course. Speaking to SiriusXM Radio yesterday, Stricker for the first time suggested that the 15-time major champion might try to play golf again. He says, I've talked to Tiger a lot. He's part of the Ryder Cup family. He's not going to be able to be a captain's assistant this time around just because of his ongoing rehab to try to get better and to play golf again, and that's going well. He's progressing. He's doing very good. Things are moving in the right direction. No big surprise, though, right? Like, what we know about Tiger, we knew he was going to try to get back on the court.
On the course. It's Tiger.
I mean, what's the point?
What do you mean?
He came back and won a major.
You don't feel like he's motivated? He's not motivated by, like, seeing a guy like Tom Brady do it at his age? You don't think that motivates him?
He's trying to get that record.
Yeah, but Tom Brady didn't fall asleep at the wheel of a car and spin it six times.
Oh, that's right. He was only blacked out drunk on a boat thrown around the Lombardi.
Catching COVID. But he was wearing a knee sleeve. He came prepared.
That is true. He was prepared to party.
That's right.
If you were at a knee sleeve when you go out to party, you are going all in, ready, right?
Throwing on a Don Joy when we go partying, Brady.
I saw Cristiano Ronaldo at a club one time with a Don Joy on. I'm like, bro,
that is hilarious.
I love Don Joys. Let's all get matching Don Joys.
I'm good.
All right, fair enough.
All right, we've talked sports memorabilia before during the scraps. This is an all-time low. A sports website announced that a pair of Michael Jordan's underwear with signs of definite use is being auctioned with a starting bid of $500.
What sort of official use?
I'm assuming they'll get to it here in the story.
I'll give you some official use.
This memorabilia website.
Somebody going cloning.
Leland's. Say the underwear formerly belonged to the legendary Bulls player and is being sold by a family member of John Michael Wozniak, Jordan's former security guard. The website says the unusual item shows signs of definite use and has some loose threads evident at the seams. Leland's says the underwear was one of several items gifted to Wozniak from Jordan. He also received suits, ties, belts, and jackets that were worn by the legend. Bidding closes September 25th.
All right. See, I thought we were going to go like the direction of, you could tell he had wrapped up like a Baby Ruth in that, thing.
that's what I was thinking.
Oh, is that what you were thinking?
I was thinking Baby Ruth.
Gaga Stinks.
Anybody see that Three Musketeers? There it is.
That would have been way funnier.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all kind of took me down weird street on that one.
You ever bought underwear to store?
I mean, the whole thing is weird.
Well, the whole thing's weird, but I remember I bought underwear at a store, and the guy's like, just so you know, you can't return these. I'm like, okay. Yeah, man.
Someone described to me the guy who bids on them. Is he just living in a basement somewhere, and he doesn't have any social life? Like, who wants to actually announce that they bid and won that particular item?
Weirdos.
I mean, somebody bought Andre the Giant's jock strap.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some weird. Yeah.
That's because they're using it as a hammock.
Yeah.
That's because they hung it up in their back.
Well, maybe somebody believes they can fly.
That is a good point.
They want them Jordan draws.
That is a good point. By the way, Andre the Giant in the Dead of Winter, it looks like he's riding the Statue of Liberty. I mean, it's just like he is a just
what?
A. I'm just saying, it's very he's a big guy. He's a very big guy. He's a huge man. Have you seen the picture of him holding the beer? Have you seen the beer next to his hand?
Jonas sure can go down weird.
I'm just saying,
it's so weird. Okay. And then he'll blame us
and I really tried to get a mental visual of the Statue of Liberty and Andre the Giant.
If you've seen how big he is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, here we go.
There's a beer can in his hand. Yeah. It looks tiny.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was a good point. Glad we got
Good job.
Glad we got
way to get us there, Jonas.
You're the one bringing up jock straps.
Yeah, that's true. I did bring
that up. I didn't bring that up. No, I just said someone's got a tie between two palm trees.
I blame
I heard he had two guys there to help him put it on, too, by the way.
Gosh, just like, why do you have to take us down that road?
Oh, you're going to take us down the road where, what was it, the bathroom?
Baby Ruth.
Can we get the, can we get the.
Baby Ruth.
Can we get the Super Bowl picks here on the season preview show here, guys? So let's get the Super Bowl picks in. He's our leadoff man. He is the great and powerful TV star, Brady Quinn.
Oh, yeah. He's so mad at me right now. Okay. I've got in the AFC the Bills and Chiefs squaring off in the AFC Championship game. It's going to be a close game, maybe one of the more entertaining, but I've got the Chiefs winning. Ho-hum, just another Super Bowl appearance for the Kansas City Chiefs. And then in the NFC, I've got the Packers. They're the away team, the number one seeded Buccaneers. They're squaring off, and I've got the Buccaneers winning once again, ruining what could be the last dance for Aaron Rodgers and a rematch of this past year's Super Bowl. I know it's boring, but look, these are the two best teams. I'm going to go with chalk right now, and I'm sure as hell not betting against Tom Brady.
Interesting.
Nothing ever goes as planned. That's just how this all works out. It just doesn't go as planned. I mean, a few times you could say, all right, Buffalo or the Rams or, you know, even right now what you're dealing with the who just won, Kansas City. But I just don't see either one of them making it back.
Wow.
I don't.
Gotta be so negative here. I mean, geez.
I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to keep two people
interested. I
almost
think that's what we think's gonna happen, and so then when it does happen, it's a kind of a surprise.
Yeah,
I almost think that.
And you're probably right. Honestly speaking, you're probably right. But I'm just thinking this year, I really have different teams going. I think out of the NFC, I think Green Bay does make it to the Super Bowl this year, and out of the AFC, I honestly feel like for some strange reason, looking at this Baltimore Ravens team, their defense is pretty studly. I think Lamar Jackson has a confidence about him that is almost scary. And like, have you figured me out? Like, you haven't figured me out. That's like that wait till you get a load of me from the Joker type stuff. I'm going with Baltimore. I think Baltimore has a serious chance of making it back to the Super Bowl. And I think that they will meet Green Bay.
See, that
I
was,
like that. I right. like that pick.
Okay, yeah. That was my pick. I literally had Ravens over the Packers. Now I don't know if I should have the same pick as LeVar Arrington. Like,
are you being serious?
We gotta go different. Right. I feel like we gotta go different here.
Well,
so,
it's funny because I do think that the Ravens, if they do make it to the Super Bowl, will beat the Packers if the Packers make it there.
All right, so I'll tell you what. All right, I don't want to have the same pick as LeVar Arrington because I want us to have different rooting interests here on the show. I'm going to say the Baltimore Ravens over the San Francisco 49ers. That'll be
okay.
my Super Bowl pick. But if that's wrong and it ends up being the Packers, I just want it on the record that I was going to
say
that, too.
You did say you were going to.
And I'm writing it down
right
now.
You got it on
the
record.
I'm writing it down right now. So clearly,
what about the Rams?
There.
No one's picking the Rams.
No, not picking the Rams.
Right. I'm not.
I don't think. I'm not. I think they'll be all right.
In the words, in the words of Rob Parker,
I think they might win the West.
I'm not betting on Stat Padford. In the words of Rob Parker. So, again, now we will be back tomorrow for a look back in Cowboys Bucks.